Hello, everyone. Welcome to Infinite Love Radio. Enlightening conversations, inspiring guests. I'm Michelle Morovati, your host. And today and every day, my intention is to support you to awaken to your true self in the present moment and to cause and create oneness inside and out. And it is really, truly a pleasure to serve you in this way, for we are all one. On today's show, as always, I will be sharing with you a little prayer, followed by my very special, inspiring, really a wonderful human being for all of us, Mr. Leonard Jacobson. Mr. Jacobson is a mystic, an author, and a spiritual teacher. He's the author of Words from Silence, Embracing the Present, Bridging Heaven and Earth, and his latest, Journey into Now. He's the founder of the Conscious Living Foundation, a nonprofit organization set up to support the awakening of human consciousness, leader of spiritual awakening workshops in the U.S., Europe, and Australia. He has also written and he's also performed in a play recently called Liberating Jesus. This should be really fascinating. And the website for that is www.liberatingjesustheplay.com. And his website is www.leonardjacobson.com. I really, really invite you to stay attuned all the way to the end, for you shall awaken to what is in the present moment with our guest, as he is a master of the present moment, as far as I'm concerned. But for now, let us all attune together as one, as love. In the present moment, there is no separation. There is only oneness within our hearts, within our souls, as we bring our attention intentionally into the present moment. We are truly one as we attune ourselves in consciousness. There is no separation. I invite you in this moment to bring your attention, your breath, your all-knowing, your heart and your soul into the now. As you breathe inside, take a deep breath and exhale with an ah. Two more times. Breathe in and exhale with an ah. Each breath representing the now. Each insight is the now. As you listen to my voice and the voice and the presence of our guest, you are in the now. As you feel your soft skin and look outside of yourself, in the now, you're attuning to what is, as I call the isness. As the presence of God and all that there is, the presence of gratitude, appreciation, beauty, love, peace, as we can see everything and everyone as God, as the divine, as source, creator, light, whatever term you have for this higher power, we are grateful, for we are all one. Again, one more deep breath. In and really shake it out and exhale with an ah. Thank you for being with us. I'm grateful. And now I will reintroduce our guest again for today. Very inspiring, very healing, as he will share with us his own awakening and his own insights. Leonard Jacobson, mystic, author, and spiritual teacher. Author of Words from Silence, Embracing the Present, and Bridging Heaven and Earth, and his latest book, Journey into Now. He's the founder of the Conscious Living Foundation, a nonprofit organization set up to support the awakening of human consciousness. Again, the website for that is www.leonardjacobson.com. I invite you to visit the website. There's a lot of wonderful messages and insights for all of us to awaken to in the present moment. But for now, without further ado, introducing Leonard. Leonard?
Hi, Michelle.
Hi. Hi.
Hi.
It's really a pleasure to have you on our show.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for accepting this invitation. I know you're very busy.
I am at the moment with the play coming up very soon.
Yes. just I want to share with the listeners out there that the last time that you were in Los Angeles, I came to your play, and what an enlightening, awakening, inspiring experience I had, truly.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. I'm glad it affected you like that. It affects a lot of people in that way, and very occasionally, only very occasionally, it kind of disturbs some people who don't want to let go of their traditional views of Jesus.
Oh, can you tell us further about that? How does it disturb them?
Well, it's just obviously a fairly provocative play in many ways, the way it's presented and what I'm presenting as Jesus from the stage. I mean, things like, I am not your savior, that would be fairly disturbing to some Christians who who adhere to traditional Christian beliefs. There was no resurrection, things like that.
Right. Can you share with us what actually inspired you to write and perform in this play?
Well, Michelle, it really began many, many years ago, in fact in 1981, when I had the first of what was to be a series of spontaneous, powerful, multidimensional awakenings. And it was during this first experience, this first awakening, that I completely opened up into a different level of consciousness, an entirely new level of consciousness for me at that time. And I can say that I was opened dramatically into oneness. I was completely intoxicated with love. I was experiencing the eternal dimension of life. It was totally amazing, overwhelming, wonderful, wondrous, and very, very healing. And during this experience, I suddenly encountered the living presence of God. I just felt God. I felt the energy and the presence of God both inside me and all around me. And prior to this moment, I was an agnostic. So it was quite surprising to me that I would be experiencing such a thing.
Right.
And,
sorry, if I may jump in, because I don't want to lose the listeners right
yes.
here. How does God feel to you? What do you mean, I felt God?
You know, it's very, very difficult to describe. It's not something that I was thinking about. It's not something that was of my mind. It wasn't a belief. It was a living experience of the presence that was in everything. It's as if the presence of God was fully present in everything around me and everything inside me. It was like I was filled with the presence of God and everything around me was filled with the presence of God. And, you know, I mean, because I was an agnostic, there was nothing in me that wanted to call it God, and yet I couldn't help it. That's what it felt like. And in the midst of this, like for these days, how I describe God is, God is the silent presence at the very heart of all things present. God is the one in the all. God is real. God is here now. But we are not. We've become lost in the world of the mind, lost in separation, lost in past and future. If we want to experience the living presence of God in all things present, then we have to come to where God is, which is in the present moment.
What you said.
Yes.
But we are not in the isness, in the now.
That's what awakening is. You see, true awakening is to liberate yourself from the past and future world of the mind and the past and future world of thought and the world of the ego, where the ego is running the show for us and where the mind never stops. It's constantly thinking without our intending to think. And it pulls us into the past, into the future, into thought, into idea, opinion, concept. And what happens is that we're kept separate from the truth of life, which is revealed through the present moment.
Right. And is this by our choice, Leonard?
You know, in a funny sort of a way, it is by our choice, and it starts in very, very early childhood. The dilemma that we all share, every living one of us, is that we came into the world as very, very present little beings, as we were babies, tiny little babies.
Mm-hmm.
But we came into a world where no one was really present. Now, what do I mean by that? They were not present in the sense that by the time we came into the world, our parents and everyone else in our lives was already absorbed into the past and future world of the mind, which is a very limited level of consciousness. And at a subtle pre-verbal level, we know it, we feel it, we sense it. They're not really here in the way we need them to be here for us to relax again into the presence.
Mm.
And what happens is, that because we're so young, this happens over the, during the first 4 years of our lives, because we're so young and vulnerable, it's virtually intolerable for us. It's too painful for us to continue living in a world where no one's really here, not at the level we need them to be here, to live an awakened life. So what happens is, at a very subtle level, we slowly make the journey from here now into the world of the mind. I call it from the world of here now into the world of not here. And not only do we choose to, because it's a way of avoiding the pain. In a way, we enter the world of the mind hoping to find someone there. We enter the world of illusion hoping to find someone there. And then the rest of our lives are spent hoping to find someone there. But there's
right.
no one there because no one's really present.
Right.
And the only real solution is to realize our dilemma, individually and collectively, to realize our dilemma and choose to come back. Stop looking for someone in that world of the past and future. Stop looking for someone to fulfill you and overcome the pain of separation. The only solution is to come back. Find your way through that doorway of the present moment, and then you are never gone. You are never lost.
Right, Leonard, and by choice, right? By choice, we can choose.
That's correct. It was a choice at a very subtle level to leave, and it is a choice at a very subtle level to come back. But the problem for everyone is that the choice cannot be made by the ego. If it's made by the ego, it won't work. But it has to be made by some deeper level of you, which really emanates from the soul, and which has a deep and subtle a remembering of oneness, a deep and subtle remembering of where home is and where truth is. And those who will awaken are those whose longing for the truth is stronger than the ego's resistance to the truth.
Ah, oh, so beautifully said, longing for the truth.
It has to be a deep soul longing for the truth, and that soul longing is awake in many of us as long as we find ourselves the right guidance to help us find our way out of the maze that is the world of the mind and find our way back into the world of now.
And you are one of our guides, right?
I am one of our guides, yes. And there are others, of course.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
I bring my own unique flavor to that guidance, as others do, as you are. You bring your flavor to that guidance for those who are seeking guidance.
Absolutely. So we are all one. You know, I had
one.
My own awakening, Leonard,
yes.
years ago when I healed myself of lupus.
Ah, beautiful.
Lupus center, and I had an awakening, and I did awaken to God.
Yes.
But a lot of people ask me, I don't understand what that means, awaken, and how do you know it's God? And I always say, we know from our soul where God is, who God is.
That's
and
right.
And we can feel God through our soul, right?
We feel God by awakening to a certain level of consciousness where God is revealed. And yes, that's the soul, but it's actually beyond the soul. It's simply about consciousness. There's a level of consciousness that is revealed when we become fully present, which is what happened to you. You became very fully present. And there's a certain level of consciousness where the truth of life is revealed, oneness is revealed, heaven on earth is revealed, and the living presence of God is revealed. But it's only available to us when we're at that level of consciousness. When we move away from or up from that level of consciousness, it just becomes a memory. And you have to realize not to integrate that and incorporate that into your memory system, because otherwise then you're just back functioning in the mind as an ego. Then you realize that the journey is very simple. You play in the world of time, you play in the world of mind, enjoy, play, don't take it too seriously. And when you want the truth of life, when you want to be in the truth of life, when you want to know God from your own experience, don't try and find it with the mind. Don't try and understand it. You come back to that level of consciousness where God is, where truth is, where love is, where oneness is.
Mm.
So the only question is, oh, how do we manage that? How do we come back to that level? And then, and this is very much a part of my teaching, just because you reach to that level, and you would know this from your own experience,
yes.
just because we reach to that level doesn't mean we're going to stay at that level. There are so many forces pulling us out again and trying to reestablish us within the world of the mind that we have to really arise in mastery of the mind and the ego so that we can become fundamentally established in presence.
Right. Leonard, just attuning to the listeners right now, if there are people out there thinking, I am so overwhelmed with what he's talking about, what is he talking about, and what is the first step that I can take into awakening in the present moment? What's your suggestion?
Well, you know, it's very, very simple. The only step to take, and it's a very simple one, is to bring yourself present with something that is here in the moment with you. If you can see it, hear it, feel it, taste it, touch it, or smell it in this moment, you can be present with it. And the moment you're present, truly present, with something that's actually here in the moment, you're not remembering it, you're not thinking about it, you're not imagining it, it's really here. It could be your body breathing. It could be sound you hear in the moment. It could be something you see or feel or taste or touch or smell. But the moment you're present through your senses in the way I'm describing, you will discover instantly that your thoughts stop all by themselves. Your mind falls silent and you'll find yourself here. You've emerged from the world of the mind. Now you're really here. You're present. And if you just relax here and stay present with what is here in the gentlest of ways, you will begin to feel and sense what I'm speaking of. Your mind will fall silent. You'll start to feel a level of peace. You'll start to feel a sense of oneness as you deepen into being here with what is here. You cannot be present by yourself. You can only be present with something that's already here, whether it's your body breathing or the sound or something you see. You must, it's like a tuning yourself, fine-tuning yourself to be present with what is here. Without any effort, without any practice, it's too simple, it's immediate, it's instant, it's gentle. And the moment you're truly here with what is here, I can ask you, who is here in this moment? I am. I am. I am. The I am of you is the awakened you. It is that dimension of you that is of this moment and only of this moment.
Leonard, I get your passion totally. And I'm sure all the listeners, your passion for what you're speaking, for what you're representing and believing really flows through you. And this is what I want to touch upon. This is what I got from your play. At the end, you do question and answers.
Yes.
By choice, whoever wants to stay and leave. And at the end of all the question and answers, I was drawn to you. I came up to you and I just said, I feel God move through you. And I said to you, I see God in your eyes.
And knowing me, I would have said to you, that is God in you seeing God in me.
Exactly, that's what you said.
Exactly, because I know that if you feel love for me in any given moment, or anyone, or anything, if you feel love for someone or something, what it really means is that you are love. And if you are beautiful enough and generous enough and graceful enough to see God in me, I don't take that as a statement about me. I take it as a statement about you. But at the same time, I'm seeing God in you.
Mm.
We're seeing God in each other, or we're seeing love in each other.
This
because, as you said earlier, when we come into presence, we are one. There's only one being, and we are all individual, wonderfully unique expressions of that one being.
So beautifully said. We are speaking to Leonard Jacobson, mystic, author, and spiritual teacher. He has written and performed in a play called Liberating Jesus. Can you tell the listeners how and where they can buy tickets and the info?
Yes. The play is at the Edgemar Center for the Arts at 2437. That's 2437 Main Street in Santa Monica. And there's a six-week season, February 29th to April 6th, on Friday and Saturday evening at 7:30, and Sunday at 2 in the afternoon. And you can buy tickets through brownpapertickets.com, or you can just visit liberatingjesustheplay.com, and it will give you all the information you need and direct you through to where you buy tickets. Now, remember, it's not liberatingjesus.com. It's liberatingjesustheplay.com.
The play, yes, yes. And I really invite everyone just to be open to expect the unexpected for your highest and greatest good, because we never know. We never know. Let us not just move forward and think of, you know, judgments and, you know, this is all about Jesus and blah, blah, blah. No,
this is not religion at all.
Exactly.
This has nothing to do with religion. This has to do with truth and the awakening of human consciousness. And it actually has to do with the truth of who Jesus really was and what his message really was. Now, you know, we didn't finish your question earlier when you said, how did this play come to be written?
Oh, yes.
May I continue with that for a moment?
Absolutely.
So I was describing my first awakening back in 1981, and I encountered the living presence of God. And then you asked me, what do I mean by God?
Mm-hmm.
Which I answered. But at that point, when I encountered God in the midst of this extraordinary multidimensional awakening, experiencing the eternal dimension of life, what surprised me most is that God spoke to me, and God asked me something. And what God asked me was to tell the truth about Jesus. And my response to God was, but I don't know the truth about Jesus. I don't know what you're talking about. And that was true. I really didn't.
Wow.
And yet God kept repeating the question, tell the truth about Jesus. And I kept saying, but I don't know what you're talking about. And it was true. I'd never read the Bible. I had no interest in any religion or Jesus. Now, that was the end of that. But what I did discover in that experience, that, number one, there was a God, because, as I said, I was an agnostic prior to that. But it was not the God that people believe in or that's presented to us. It's a totally different experience of God. And I discovered that God was unconditionally loving, accepting, and allowing, and I was allowed to say no to God. That did something to me somewhere deep within my soul.
Mm.
Anyway, this awakening lasted for about 3 weeks in total intensity. Then it lasted for another 3 months at still a fairly high level of intensity. Then it kind of went away, and then that really began my search, what had happened to me. And 3 years later, I had a second awakening, more powerful than the first. And it was during the second awakening, Michelle, that I was totally opened up into the eternal once again. I was experiencing heaven on earth. I was experiencing perfect oneness. I was overwhelmed completely by love. And this was going on for days. And then all of a sudden, I was taken to another dimension of consciousness completely. This took me so by surprise, and it was not an easy experience to go through. But I found myself experiencing Christ on the cross, being crucified.
Oh, wow.
And I experienced it in such perfect detail that it's very difficult for me to relate that to anyone in a way that would be credible. I could feel the feelings, I could hear the sounds, I could see the people. It was all incredibly real, and I could feel all the pain he was going through. It was totally overwhelming and yet very real to me and very confusing at the same time. It was a difficult experience. But in the midst of this experience, I had all sorts of revelations coming through about what really happened to Jesus on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And it was somewhat disturbing because the revelations that came through to me in this experience were, although they were very, very affirming of Jesus in his divinity, it was quite different from traditional Christian beliefs. In a sense, I feel that what was revealed to me elevates Jesus beyond where Christians have him, but in a totally different way,
right.
Not the way Christians believe.
Let me just jump in because
yes.
I want to ask you, why do you think you were chosen? Are you chosen, or is it your soul's agreement, or?
You know, it's impossible for me to say. I really had no anticipation of this or expectation of this. My sense of it was part of my soul's journey, and I was probably chosen a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you one other aspect, which I don't really speak about very much, but you're so beautiful and open, I'm going to tell you anything.
Oh, thank you. The listeners?
Yes. One of the strangest and most mysterious aspects of my work upon this earth, and this happened by accident, I didn't plan it or anticipate it, but as I travel around the world, I seem to be encountering quite a few people that were there at the time of Jesus and who were with him and who loved him dearly and who were there at the time of the crucifixion.
Really?
And each one of them was in really serious need of healing from that experience. And so part of my work here has somehow, in a most mysterious way, has been to find them or for them to find me, and I take them through a healing which heals their soul and transforms their life in this lifetime. It's incredibly mysterious.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, I found those who loved him, but I found a few of his persecutors as well, and they too were in need of healing.
How did you find them? Okay. First of all, I'm getting goosebumps, and the listeners are probably like,
they're probably thinking,
their
who is
jaws
this
open, and they're like, huh, what?
Who is this madman? But I can't help it. I'm just telling you how it is. And I can, you know, everything is true. I found at least 25 people who were there in the most obscure places all over the world.
How did you find them? And where I'm coming from, Leonard, and the listeners, within the realm of all possibilities,
yeah,
everything is possible. Let us be open.
Well, let's also say that there's a certain level, and my guess is that you would know this, Michelle, from your own awakening, there's a certain level where everything is being orchestrated by God, whether we know it or not.
Right.
And so from my sense, this is completely feasible if God is orchestrating everything. I don't know why or how, but it's happening. So how it happens is that I'm just traveling the world doing my teaching. I'm not interested in Jesus usually apart from the play. I mean, that's not what my work is about.
Right.
My work is about helping people to free themselves from the mind and ego and awaken into the truth of who they are, the eternal now.
Mm.
But what happens is in my travels, teaching that, I occasionally run into someone, and usually it's in a private session or a retreat setting, where I'm working with them in relation to trauma or issues that are in need of healing in this lifetime, nothing to do with the past. And then as we go into it, and we go very deeply into it, what emerges very powerfully, I never do past life regressions or anything like that, what emerges very powerfully is this connection, and they find themselves back into that other lifetime, and the feelings that arise are so spontaneous and so powerful and so overwhelming that I regard it as authentic. And then I will proceed. I will not proceed with anyone on that basis unless it feels so authentic to me. And then basically we have a dialogue and a healing with Jesus on the cross. Essentially the outcome is Jesus is taken down from the cross for that person anyway, and that person gets to learn the lesson that they failed to learn when Jesus was with them. Because the truth is, all those who were with Jesus at the time failed to get his true message.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone missed, and that's what led to Christianity, was
right.
Everyone with him, all his disciples, missing his true message and his true purpose in being here.
Right. And
his
so
true
as
purpose,
each
his true
one
purpose,
person...
What's that?
Yes, and so as each person is healing, we are all healing.
It's what's happening, how I see it,
yes,
is that what's happening is I find these people who were there at the time and they go through a healing. It's healing something in the collective consciousness.
Exactly.
Or the collective unconsciousness. It's like that event of the crucifixion is a very, very powerful event within human unconsciousness. And it needs to be healed. Jesus needs to be himself taken down from the cross. He needs to be relieved of that burden of being everyone's savior, because that was never his intention.
Mm.
That was never God's intention.
What was his intention?
His intention was to walk upon the earth, and these are lines from the play.
Right.
It was such a simple plan. I'm speaking now as Jesus in the play.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a simple plan. I would walk upon the earth, and God's presence within me would be enough to awaken those around me. My teaching would be clear and irresistible to those with ears to hear.
Mm. So much love in what you just said. I really feel the love.
And that's what Jesus was here for. He was here to reflect to the Jews, really. He was there as a Jew teaching the Jews. And he was there to reflect to the Jews who they are and how to fulfill their sacred covenant with God. All that you seek is here now. God is within you.
Mm, God is within us.
Wake up. Open your eyes. See what is here. Remember who you are. And then you will be redeemed into oneness, just as I am redeemed into oneness, says Jesus.
Mm.
Because he is here as a reflection of who we are. Why would he say otherwise things like, why do you call me good? Only God is good. All that I am, you are. You can perform these things and more. Things like this. But for the most part, Christendom doesn't want to pay attention to those things.
Right.
And you're here
to finish the job.
What's that?
I said, and you're here to finish the
well,
job.
Well, actually, there's some truth to that. I'm here to finish the job, and maybe Jesus is supporting me in that. Who knows?
Oh, now, definite.
And maybe God is, but look, I don't go into those levels. I'm just here. I'm a very ordinary man. I live an ordinary life. I'm just so happy to not be lost in illusion and to be awake in the truth of life, which is the present moment. It doesn't need to be special for me. It doesn't need to be blissful. I'm just happy to be here and grateful to be here. And I'm very grateful when I encounter others who are here. And I'm very willing and open to offer guidance to those who are not here yet but who would like to be here.
Mm. And we know this because you have private sessions, retreats, workshops,
yes.
Teleconferences, right?
All of that. In fact, well, we do evening sessions. I call them evening teaching sessions. Some people in the spiritual community call it satsang, but I just like to call it evening teaching sessions. And we have them, you know, two times a month in our local area. But the good thing is that we broadcast them over the telephone. There's a live telephone hookup so that anyone who wants to listen in can become a member of the foundation, and then they get a code and a telephone number, and they can tune in from anywhere in the world and be part of this awakening community if they want to be.
Awakening into oneness.
Awakening into presence, which reveals oneness. Yes.
Absolutely. We're speaking to an enlightening, inspiring, authentic conversation with Leonard Jacobson, mystic, author, and spiritual teacher. His website is www.leonardjacobson.com. I invite all of you to visit and participate in the present moment in the oneness with Leonard and the community. Leonard, we haven't talked about your latest book, Journey into Now, A Clear Guidance on the Path of Spiritual Awakening. I have this book. I bought it after I went to your play.
Oh, good. Did you read it yet?
Yes. Not all of it, to be honest.
Uh-huh.
I know.
You'll get around to it.
I will, definitely.
Yes.
Definitely. This is a perfect opportunity for me to get back on track and finish it.
Right.
But so simple, so clear, so straightforward. Anyone can get what you have written, right? What is your inspiration?
Well, really the inspiration is to make this teaching, which has been, you know, the teaching that I'm sharing is not different to the teaching of Buddha or Jesus or Lao Tzu or Ramana Maharshi or many of the current teachers who are sharing the same message, really. Most people, almost everyone on the earth is functioning at a very limited level of consciousness. So much more is available to us. There is a much higher level of consciousness available to us. But we need clear guidance if we're to awaken. And my intention in writing Journey into Now was to provide the clearest possible guidance. And anyone who really studies the book will really get that clear guidance. I consider it to be like a road map home. And yet it covers so many different things. It's profoundly mystical as I speak about the eternal dimension. And when I speak of that awakened state of oneness, you can feel the presence in the words when I speak at that level. But then I also address all the ways that we're pulled out of being present. I call it a two-step dance of awakening. Step number one, bring yourself present, and I share very clearly how to be present,
right,
in that part of the book. But then step number two in this two-step dance of awakening is essential if we're to fundamentally awaken. And step number two is all about arising in mastery of the mind and ego. And how we arise in mastery is by bringing consciousness to every moment that we're pulled out of presence. Bring consciousness to all the ways we're pulled out of presence, all the things that prevent us from being present. And each time we bring consciousness to these things, we're gradually and gently arising in mastery, and all those obstacles to presence that I'm speaking of are gently relaxing until one day there's a shift in your home where you live.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, almost everyone on this planet, their home is the world of the mind. We live in the mind. We have brief fleeting moments in presence, but we go back to our home, which is the mind, the past and future, the world of thought, idea, concept. Now, what happens as you follow this path of awakening, this two-step dance of awakening, is there will be a gradual shift, and then one day, one morning, you wake up and your home has shifted. Now, your home is the world of now. This is where you live. And of course you think whenever it's appropriate, but you're no longer a victim of those unconscious thoughts that never stop thinking and that you never invited in the first place. They're just happening.
Mm-hmm.
When that shift occurs, then your home is essentially silence and presence and oneness and truth.
I love what you say. We are no longer a victim because it's become a habit of ours.
Yes, we're all deeply habituated to living unconsciously.
Yes.
And it's very difficult to go against the tide. You see, anyone who truly wants to awaken has to be willing to be the only one. because most people that you know will resist it and won't be awake. So you have to be willing to, in a sense, blaze the trail, as it were,
mm-hmm.
be a trailblazer. In other words, I'm willing to be present, I'm willing to be here, even if I'm the only one.
Right.
Now, it doesn't separate you, it doesn't isolate you, it just means that people will be more drawn to you, but you don't realize that until you take that step for presence. You know, my own feeling is, unless being present is the first priority in your life, so that you do remember presence many times each day, unless it's the first priority in your life, unless you honor the present moment as the truth of life, you will not awaken. And that's actually in the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, from my perspective, God and the present moment are one and the same. Therefore, make the present moment the first priority in your life. And then everything else can be secondary and beautiful and wonderful and all of that. But being present has to be your first priority.
You know what
Jesus
my
said,
experience
in fact,
is?
Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things shall be added unto you. That's the same thing as saying, make the present moment the first priority in your life, and everything else will flow.
Right. You know, Leonard and the listeners, my experience with the oneness, with the present moment, with God, with what is that I don't need to drink, take drugs, or have any attachments to anything or anyone in order to be happy and joyful. I just am. You know, when I go to parties, I see everybody, my family members, my relatives, they're all drinking alcohol, thinking that they're going to be coming, they're going to come into the present moment with the alcohol, while I'm just being and I'm in the present moment and I'm not intoxicating myself.
Well, you're absolutely right. And most of the things people are doing are to help them escape the pain of living in separation. You know, some friends once tried to persuade me to take some ecstasy a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they described to me what it felt like. And I said, well, what are you talking about? That's how I feel all the time.
Exactly.
I don't need that. But don't get me wrong. You see, again, that can be misleading for people. If you're not willing to allow being present to be ordinary, you'll never become established in presence. Sometimes presence is beautifully ordinary, and sometimes it's wonderfully extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't become attached to one and rejecting of the other. It's just a beautiful flow. And then occasionally you play in the world. Well, when you need to, you play in the world of time. You think consciously. Of course you do. Because we're multidimensional beings. There's nothing wrong with the mind. There's nothing wrong with thinking. There's nothing wrong with playing in the world of time. Unless you're lost in that world, disconnected from the truth of life. And that's the situation with humanity at the moment.
Right. And there's no misunderstanding here. We're not saying that you're going to get high
no.
and out of control. We're saying actually you're going to be grounded and clear.
I actually recommend a gradual awakening. That's not how it happened for me. I had these series of very sudden, spontaneous, over-the-top awakenings. But I don't recommend them, truthfully. The best way to awaken is gradually and through your intelligence and through making choices for presence and choices that lead to mastery.
Beautiful.
That's how it will be for most people on the planet.
Beautiful.
There's a few unfortunate souls like me who had to do it the hard way.
The hard way.
Really, I'm not kidding. It's the hard way.
Knowing that everything is a practice and a process, and let us be patient with ourselves, right?
Well, I always rebel against the word practice. I prefer the word everything is a gentle remembering. Now, let me explain the word remembering to you, because mostly we humans misuse that word. If we want to, we should be saying remindering.
Okay.
But remembering, if you want to know what remembering means in this context, you have to go to the word dismembering. When we take something that's whole and complete and we cut it and separate it into parts, we're dismembering it. But when we remember to be present with that which is present, with the two parts, the parts are being remembered. In presence, the parts are being restored into wholeness and oneness.
Mm.
So your one part, everything else in your present moment experiences the other part. In the remembering between you and those other parts, the oneness is restored. And the moment oneness is restored between you and anything you're present with, it's restored fully for you everywhere.
Mm.
And
so
not just
true.
Here in this lifetime, but at every dimension of your multidimensional existence. The moment you're truly present in your life here on Earth in physical form, if you're truly present just for a few moments and oneness is revealed for you and heaven on Earth is revealed just in this moment, that flows all the way through all the different dimensions so that your soul is suddenly delivered instantly into oneness. The spiritual dimension of you is revealed, oneness is revealed there. The psychic dimension, all the different dimensions of us is brought into alignment with the oneness that is being revealed through you in this moment. That makes you a champion of your soul. Mm. It makes you a champion of God. That's what's possible for us.
Your passion now, is giving me goosebumps.
Right. That's what happens when we have a few moments in presence. The soul is aligned. The soul is aligned. The spiritual dimension is aligned. But what happens when we become fundamentally established in presence? The soul is delivered. You are the champion of your soul. And the possibility is that you, through your seeking and arriving and awakening in this lifetime, will deliver your soul into its own immortality. And even the soul doesn't know that that's possible. The soul itself is living with the illusion that its deliverance, its redemption into oneness, is somewhere in its future in the context of lifetime, some future lifetime. The soul's mistake is that it doesn't know that the only possibility of true deliverance and true immortality can only be through, revealed through the present moment and through the coming together of all duality into oneness. And the only one that can accomplish that for the soul, even though the soul doesn't realize it, the only one that can accomplish it for the soul is you here in physical form.
Mm, absolutely. Going back to what you're talking about being restored, I was looking in a section in your book about healing, and where you say in true healing you are being restored to your true nature. It is a return to wholeness.
Right. Well, you know, all dysfunction, all dis-ease, all emotional dysfunction, all of it really traces back to our separation. It's the source of all disease and emotional dysfunction. And so as we bring all of these things into consciousness and all of these things are revealed before presence, which is loving, accepting and compassionate, a healing occurs. Everything that is hidden and unconscious needs to be brought to consciousness and experienced consciously with love and acceptance, and it leads to a healing which then releases you from that disturbed or wounded past. The whole point of healing is to release you from the past and the past from you so that you're more available to the present. So it's by completing and by healing and completing the past is released, the past is completed, and then as the past is completed and released, I am released, you are released more fully into presence. And as you're more released more fully into presence, you just open up into a deeper level of truth of who you are and what life is.
Right. So this is your suggestion for people that are experiencing physical disease, such as cancer, MS, lupus, diabetes, to just work on releasing the past. Right?
Well, you know, I don't want to be too flippant here because, you know, I don't want to say everything, every physical disease comes from or illness comes from this, although it probably does. I don't want to put that on people.
Right.
But what I can tell you is that their best chance of healing, in association with whatever healing they're doing, is to become present and to heal and release the past to the best of their ability. Now, even if their illness is too far gone and it doesn't heal, at least what will happen as they open into presence and the deeper levels of oneness, they'll no longer fear death anyway. So that's worthwhile. I mean, there's a story in my book of a woman that I gave a session to who was very close to dying. And if you read the book, it's towards the end on the chapter on death. You know, it will move you. It was very, very moving for me. She started off in the session very, very fearful that she was dying. By the end of the session, she was waiting for God to take her, and she was surrounded by angels.
Mm.
You see, what's more important than whether we live or die is whether we wake up or not. Because we've lived many lifetimes. We've lived, we've died, we've been married, we've been in wars, we've killed, we've been killed, we've abused, we've been abused. Let's get over it. Let's get over our stories. The whole point of the story is to eject you from the story. But most of us are so involved in our stories that we refuse to leave it.
Right. We become our stories.
Well, we become our stories. We become identified with our stories. Let me tell you an interesting anecdote from my book, which really demonstrates what I'm talking about. And this is a true story. A woman was asleep in her bed, and she was dreaming. And in the dream, she was on a train. And while she was on the train, she lost her two suitcases. And she began looking everywhere, walking up and down the carriages, looking for her suitcases. And the dream was becoming more of a nightmare for her. She'd lost her suitcases. She was becoming panicky. It was so important to her. She had a real problem. She'd lost her suitcases. She had to solve it. And the dream was turning into a nightmare. Then all of a sudden, a car drove by her bedroom where she was sleeping and sounded the horn. And she began to wake up. And she was almost awake. And she thought to herself, I can't wake up yet. I haven't found my suitcases. And she started to go back into the dream to look for her suitcases. And then she realized, now just a minute. If I wake up, I'm not on the train. I haven't lost any suitcases. There's no problem. I'm going to just wake up out of my dream. Now, in a way, that story reflects everyone's life. We all are still looking for our suitcases within the dream. Now, what are our lost suitcases that we won't give up looking for? I'm not accepted. I'm not loved. I don't belong. I don't fit in. I'm not good enough. We're trying to find the love and the acceptance that we didn't get when we were children. We're still looking for our suitcases. And we're relentless in our pursuit. We won't give it up. And that's why people won't let go of the dream. I actually hear that from people. I can't wake up yet. I'm not loved yet.
Mm.
And they don't realize that if they just wake up, they are love, and love is everywhere.
Absolutely.
And so
we
they keep themselves in that pain of separation by insisting on staying in the dream, in the story. What I usually ask people in my groups, or one of the things I ask is, I ask, what is the theme of your dream? And it's very illuminating to identify the theme of your dream. What's your storyline? We're all script writers, and we've written our own script, but now we've gotten so used to and so much involved in being the star of our story, we don't want to give it up.
Mm, absolutely.
And worse than that, some of us want to be the stars, not only just in our story, we want to be the star in other people's stories. Now we're really in trouble.
I don't get enough in my story.
Let me be a star in your story, and then maybe I'll be accepted.
Your story is better than my story.
Exactly, all of them. And everybody's got really quite interesting and amusing stories if you look at them. You know, one of my favorite stories that amuses me most is the victim story.
Oh, yes.
I meet so many people in my work where they're playing out the story of the victim. Now, it's so interesting where that comes from. When they were very, very little, Mummy gave them attention when they were crying or when they were hurting, or Daddy paid attention when they were hurting. And it slowly developed into a strategy of getting what you want by being a victim. Isn't that amazing? And they don't realize it. Then their whole life becomes dysfunctional because it has to be in order for them to continue as victims. And what are they hoping for? They're hoping that someone will pay attention to them or be there for them. And it doesn't work. It's not supposed to work.
Mm. And in your website, you say, if silence is the doorway, then love is the key.
Of course, they go together.
Yes. So when we're silent in the present moment, we are one with love. Is that what you're saying? And
when
love opens all doors?
Yeah, what I say is the only thing we really need to know is it's not about love and it's not about silence. It's about being present with that which is already present. Just to bring yourself here with what is here. The moment you're truly present, you are silent. You are peaceful, you are love, you are acceptance, you are compassion, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it. It's who you are. And it really doesn't matter who or what you love. It's almost irrelevant. In fact, most of us get lost in the object of our love. That's one of the causes of our downfall. Rather than realizing who we are, I am love, we get so absorbed into the object of the love, and then we lose ourselves. That's what happened around Jesus.
Right. And your whole message is to just be in the present moment, right?
To be in the present moment and go through that process of arising in mastery, which will liberate you not only for this lifetime, but for all lifetime. there's such an opportunity, and that opportunity is available to everyone. But it's as Jesus said, for those with ears to hear. People are so committed to staying with what they know, or the ego is so resistant to really responding to what I'm saying, because the ego is not wanting what I'm talking about. The ego wants to remain in control. And its world is the world of the mind, the past and the future. And it needs to keep you in that world to remain in control. And so no one awakens until we realize what the ego is and how it functions and how to overcome its resistance. And the only way you overcome the ego's existence is through love and acceptance, which is only possible from presence. So it all comes back to presence. Be present, be still, be silent, and know.
Absolutely. And I'm so grateful for your presence in the present moment. It was such an enlightening, informative interview and conversation that we've had, Leonard.
Well, I've appreciated it very much.
Our time is up. But let me give the website again for Liberating Jesus. It's www.liberatingjesustheplay.com, right?
Correct.
And Leonard's website is www.leonardjacobson.com. You can make private sessions, retreats, workshops, evening sessions, all by connecting. Is there a contact number, Leonard?
Well, it's all on the website. Everything they need is on the website. Or I can give you a contact number. It's 831-688-4105. That's our office number.
Beautiful. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michelle. It's been a pleasure.
All that you're offering, all that you're contributing to humanity, guiding us, supporting us to awaken into the present moment.
Well, thank you very much. And please come back and see the play again.
Absolutely. I'm telling all my friends.
Oh, great.
And all the listeners now.
Yes, good, good.
Thank you, and bless you.
Thank you very much.
Bless you.
Bye-bye. Bless you. Bless you too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. And that's Infinite Love Radio for this week. All of you wonderful listeners, allowing ourselves to be in the present moment, to awaken to what is love and acceptance, what is the beauty of the oneness. As we look at each other, as we become more and more aware of the oneness, as the presence of God within me, within you, within all, we are grateful. Thank you for being present with all of us. For now, I invite you to breathe in infinite love into every cell in your body. Breathe it in and breathe out infinite love and give it to the whole world, for we are all one. And don't forget to visit our website, www.infiniteloveradio.com, and download free guided meditations and insights. And as well, there's a healing practice. My site for my own practice, my own CDs, my own book is www.spiritualityinsideandout.com. I'm Michelle Morvati. Thank you. Until next week, bless you. I love you. Good day.